Greetings. We are the Boss Prophets and the Generals, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly supernatural word of empowerment.
We decree by the power of God that what you are about to hear will begin to shift you into
your new season.
Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
I use the word of God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
I quote the word of God to myself, and simply because he created me, I know he loves me.
Amen. That's all right.
The same I encourage for you to do as well. And that will cause the healing process to take place. That's where you can release the guilt or the shame or whatever it is that you're feeling and having doubt that God does not think you're worthy enough. You can't neglect the word of God, people of God. Daily meditation upon scriptures is absolutely vital to our faith. The word is the fuel of our trust in the Father, because it reminds us of how he helped others in the past, how he will help you in the future. If we neglect to read the word, our confidence in the Lord will surely falter.
Jesus.
This is how I know people tell off on themselves. Because I can tell in the way that you talk. I can tell by the way the Lord has given me discernment, and he connects me with you in your heart. You tell off so much on yourself without telling off on yourself. And I would do it as well. I'm not exempt. But I know by the confidence you have in your trial, by if you're in the word of God. Amen. I'm not saying that you're going to go through trials that may cause you to lose your balance. Of course, I do it all the time. But I know by how long you stay down, I know by how you speak when I ask about a certain situation, because it lets me know that you're not really believing the word of God, or maybe you don't know about the word of God. Maybe you forgot that there are certain scriptures in the Bible that can help you, that you can meditate on and encourage you. You need to know the word of God.
Yes.
So with that being said, this is how I know you need to know the word of God.
Amen.
This is how I know, because we can't do it all for you. In this season of transition, because this is a season of transition for KCI, we teach all that we know and how the Lord even gives us more impartation of revelation. And I understand it's good things. It's some good things that we give you all. Because I'm preaching, I'm like, woo, God, you are awesome. I get on fire from teaching on the revelation of God. But when we cannot do it every week, or when we cannot do it twice a week, the way that you desire it to be, that's when you got to study the word of God. That's when you got to open up the word of God. That's when you got to actually study. I only gave you one scripture in Hebrews, but the thirst and the hunger in you should say, you know what? She only gave us one scripture, but I'm going to read the whole chapter.
Amen.
I'll call Hebrews chapter 11 the chapter of faith, because it talks about examples of Abraham and others who Moses, who have gone in faith and done great acts because of faith. Even when it didn't look like it was going to work, they went off faith knowing God would provide. That's what hunger and zeal in the study of the word of God does. Even if I don't expound on it, you know the chapter, you know the book, Hebrews chapter 11, then you go forward and read the whole chapter. You dissect and you research. You can't put it all on your leaders.
Amen.
You got to be accountable to the word of God too, because this is your walk with Christ. You got to work out your own salvation.
Yes.
Own. I love that word, own.
No.
Because if that scripture was not in there, the body of Christ would be so confused. Because that's what a lot of members try and do. They try and put it on the pastor. Well, I'm not getting fed, but then I ask, when was the last time you actually had a real dissecting study session of the word of God?
Amen.
Then all of a sudden they go crazy. It looked like a deer in headlights. Well, you know, I read a scripture here. You want me to constantly feed you, but what are you feeding yourself when I hang up this phone?
Amen.
See, you got to live a life of holiness. This is a big one. I don't see how you're going to think you're going to stand firm in faith and you're continuing in sin. I live a God, I worship a God and live for a God that is holy and calls us to be acceptable in sight because of our own holiness and because we are sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So with that being said, if I serve a holy God and we're supposed to be like him, that means that we are to be holy and sanctified as well. You can't continue in sin. And we're going to continue to teach about this. And we call it out. You got to have a clean heart. You got to have a clean heart, people of God. You got to stay repentive, and you got to make sure you measure up to what the word of God is calling you to be.
Yes.
Study the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Study the Beatitudes in Matthew. Study how to be a peacemaker. Study how to be merciful. Study so that you can know you can exhibit those same characteristics. And when you exhibit those same characteristics, then sin has no part.
Amen.
What is sin? Anything that is against the righteousness of God.
Yes.
Anything that is a weight against your walk and your running in this race to finish in faith. That's what the Word of God says. Lay aside every weight of sin that so easily besets you. Anything that slows you down.
Jesus.
Why we allow the words that come out of our mouth to be lies and hateful and jealousy and enviousness?
Mm.
Why are we talking about and breaking down others instead of empowering and building them up?
My God.
Why are we allowing the mind that God said he would keep us in perfect peace whose mind is staying on him? Why are we allowing our mind to host evil imagination? Every time you walk and you look at a person's booty or a person's package in his hands, you lusting after them.
Mm.
Or you're deplotting certain devious acts against a person in your imagination. Why do you cause your mind to be doubting the things of God?
Mm.
I'm talking about continual sin. All of these are sins. No matter if it's something little that you can sin, that you can commit in your heart, that nobody ever would know but you.
Amen.
Unless the Lord shows your heart to somebody else.
Yes.
I'm talking about checking yourself. I'm challenging you to check your heart. Challenge you to check the things that you think about. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, it talks about the things that your mind should be staying on. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just. Those are the things we need to be thinking on, not lust, just.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. We got to live a life of pureness and purification and sanctification.
Amen.
In order for this thing called faith to really take root in our life.
Amen.
And that would keep us guarded as we are in faith and we armor ourselves with the armor of God. It would act as a device against the enemy. He will do whatever he can to throw our devotion to the Lord. Always suggesting that God would not do as he has promised. Never believe the devil's lies. We always say that he's accuser of the brethren. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. It's more than just a cute saying. He really is the father of lies.
Yes.
And he will deceive you. He's been studying your lineage. You may not know your daddy, but Satan does. You may not know your great-great-great-grandfather, but Satan does.
Yes.
He knows all about you. He knows what's hereditary and what is also learned behavior.
Yes.
And he's going to try through both. He's going to try and activate some things that happened in your bloodline generations ago. And then he's going to try and also oppress you with some learned behavior so that you could be the first one to cause that sin to happen, and then you begin a generational curse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, people, this thing is deep.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of the things, some of the things that cause us to not operate in the perfect faith that God has blessed us with.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you begin to tackle these things that I've just mentioned, getting over your human reasoning or your analysis or getting over living in sight but live by faith, the things that you can't see but you're hoping and knowing that it's already manifested, surrendering to your feelings. When you stop surrendering to your feelings and get on God's feeling, get in the Word of God and learning how to match up and correct your feelings so it can line up with the Word of God, then you'll get somewhere. When you stop seeking negative counsel, stop going to somebody that's just going to tell you something good, but go to our Heavenly Father who's going to tell you what you need to hear.
Yes.
Stop
Amen.
Feeling guilty about yourself. Get over it.
Mm.
It wasn't your fault that you got raped. It wasn't your fault. You did some stupid things. I understand. You stole. You aborted.
Mm-hmm.
You beat up some people. You lied. You cheated. You got a debt.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you stepped out on your marriage. Forgive yourself. You're worthy in his sight once you allow his blood to cleanse you and move forward.
Yeah.
Stop neglecting the Word of God. Let's see how many people get off this line and later on today actually read the full chapters of 11 in Hebrew.
Yes.
Who's really going to study the Word of God? Who can come to me and tell me, oh, Pastor April, I was reading this and I just want to share this revelation with you that I had.
Mm.
You know, I very seldom get those type of calls.
Mm.
My God.
But I get those calls. I can't make it and I'm sad and I'm tired.
Mm.
And that's fine too. But where are the calls where you can actually say, oh, I'm just so on fire, Pastor April.
Yeah.
I just read this in the Word of God. God is so good.
Yeah.
I was reading in Hebrews, blah, 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 blah. And the Word of God, you know what? Because I read this in Colossians, and it says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How can you show me that you've been in prayer and devotion and you want to share? Because one thing about it, when you are in devotion with the Lord, And God gives you revelation. You want to share with somebody. You get excited. I can't tell you how loud I scream when I get a revelation. I say, "Woo! Oh my God, you are good, Andrew! Come on, let me tell you what I just read." I get loud about it because I'm excited about the things, new revelation. Because when I think about sharing with others. I think about how I can preach it if the Lord releases me to say it when I come before you again. God is saying, don't neglect his word. He said, stop continuing in sin. Stop lusting. Yes. And not just lusting over sex, lusting over your own desires.
Yes.
He knows you need a car. He knows you need a house. He knows you need finances. But he's saying, are you praying to me more, asking or thanking me more about the materialistic gain over your relationship? Is your prayer, God, I need it. God, you see. God, I need to do this. God, I need that. In order to do this, I need this. Or are you saying, God, even if you don't do it, I'm going to be here faithfully every day at this time worshiping you.
Amen.
I know it's a cliche, but that's a song also. If the Lord never does anything else for me, he's done enough. Can we really say that? We can sing it. Oh, we can sing it and have a hallelujah time.
Mm.
But when the song is over, do we really believe it? If he never does anything else for you, if you lose your home, if you lose your car, and you are displaced, and you're in a homeless shelter, will you still be able to lift up your head and evangelize? Will you be able to walk the street and say, you know what, I'm still going to preach, I'm still going to lay hands, and I'm still going to have and tell somebody about a man named Jesus?
Yes.
I don't have to have a house to tell a testimony. I don't have to have a car to tell a testimony. And you begin to stop neglecting his word and get out of sin. And you really want to be holy and acceptable in his sight because you know you were bought with a price. Mm. And when you know that the enemy is going to try and discourage you, but you know how to fight against his attacks because you armor yourself in the armor of the Lord. And you know also what scriptures to meditate on to keep you in remembrance of his promises. Then your faith will begin to elevate. You will then begin to have little or what is called restless faith. That means that's a person with little faith. You know, they begin to say, God, I trust you. I think the Lord can do it. I think he can do what he says, but I'm not certain. I'm not certain for sure that he will. That person who has little or restless faith, he or she may struggle to believe in God's promises. But if you continue to grow in this thing, still pushing through your pain, pushing through your feelings, pushing through how others are talking about you, your faith begins to grow, and you grow into what is called great or maturing faith. And that's a person with great faith who trusts the word of God and relies on the unfailing character of the Lord. That person, he or she, will begin to say, not only do I know the Father can help me, but I am sure he will. You go from an I think state of mine, and then you go to, not only do I know the Father can help me, I am sure he will. You go to a level of surety. And this is the part where we should be all striving to, the perfect or resting faith. The perfect or resting faith is when people with perfect faith say, God has promised me, so I trust that he has said what he has said is already accomplished. So not only do you go from the great or maturing faith and you begin to say, not only do I know the Father can help me, I am sure he will, in the perfect faith or the resting faith, you begin to say, God has promised me, so I trust what he has said is already accomplished.
Amen.
Some of us, we have a little glimpse of this because one moment we say, we know it's already done. And then in the next sentence, well, I think it's going to happen. You know, you start to go back a little bit. But God is saying when you have a perfect faith, you're unwavering. You no longer ask the Lord for the desires of your heart in this state. You begin to seek him, and instead you thank him that his perfect provision is already fulfilled.
Yes.
Paul was an example of this. He said, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. And Paul is a man that had much, and then he was a man that had little. He was living in people's homes. He was doing or building tents to get his own little money in his pocket. He was traveling wherever God sent him or the Holy Spirit led him. But Paul said, whether I'm in somebody's house laying on their floor or whether I have my own provision, I've learned to be content. And I realized that in this season, this is what God wanted me to have. This is his perfect provision for the season right now in this life. But we so stuck sometimes, some of us, that we want the house and the car, and there's nothing wrong with that. We want to be comfortable. But don't let your desire to be comfortable outweigh God's perfect will for your life.
Yeah.
There may be a season in your life where you are destined to be uncomfortable. Nevertheless, people of God, I've learned to be content, and I thank God for the provision. Before I utter and complain, I say, God, you already know what I want, but this is what you've given me, so blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for opening up or touching the hearts of these people, otherwise I guess pursuit of perfect peace and perfect faith.
Yes.
Because when you have perfect faith and resting faith, you will have a peace that is perfect as well. Because your mind will stay in gratitude and in humility and looking at the blessings. You know, you look at the glass half full instead of half empty. And when you're able to do that, there's a peace, a supernatural peace that comes over you. Ministry, if you ever know anything about a church, church is a hospital full of sick people.
Mm-hmm.
This is where people come to get delivered. This is where people come who have been liars, adulterers, who are stealing and thieving. This is where people come who got so many different things and vices and bondage on them, and that's what it's created for. I don't know whoever sold that idea that church would be perfect. They lied to you because church is a hospital. It is a refuge for the people of God. So you have a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds that are going to come and seek refuge. And it's only through the Word of God and through the unadulterated teaching of the Word of God that will change people's lives. And unfortunately, some people won't be able to receive it. This is a message that challenged. I was up front. Nobody can tell me that I was not up front. When I first spoke, I said, this message will challenge you. It will prove to you to assess yourself and your level of faith in God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him, no matter how great or how small, whatever you're believing God for. But in the meantime, while you're waiting on God to manifest, while you're waiting on God to work it out, that is not the time to lose faith or hope in God, but to be thankful and appreciate the trial. When you can get to a level where you can thank God for what you're going through, you're almost there. It took me a while to get there, but I said, God, I thank you. I went through a wilderness experience. It took me a long time. It took me a long time, but God eventually broke that thing off of me, and I could begin to raise my hand and say, God, I thank you for the wilderness, because it's not for me. It's not the making of me, but it is also because of the people that you have me to be over. I went through this wilderness experience so I can stand strong. Being the young black woman that I am, I could talk to people who are twice or three times my age. I could talk to people who are of Indian descent or Caucasian or European or Hispanic or Nigerian, African. It don't matter who you are, your creed or race. We serve a God that's over it all. It's not about my gender. It's not about our race. It's simply about a supernatural move of God. There are going to be people who are hungry, people who are broken, who need to hear from a strong woman of God. When they feel like everything around them is crumbling, they can look to me and say, you know what? If she can stand strong, having gone through everything that she's gone through, I can too. And that's when I began to realize that God was preparing me for that, I could stand strong. For all of you all that are here and under the sound of my voice, God has a mission and a ministry for you, whether you have pastoralship on your life, you are a traveling evangelist, a prophetess, a teacher, no matter if you are in leadership, even right now, you attend a different ministry. The trials that you go through is not for you. Don't take it personal. It is just to make you and build you to be stronger so that you can practice your faith even in the midst of adversity, so that you can practice your faith even when you don't feel or see or hear from the Lord, so that you can practice your faith and know that it's already come to pass, the promises that God gave you 5 years ago, that it will come to pass. He is a God that cannot lie, nor a man that needs to repent.
My God.
I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about, whether you say amen or not.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm talking about. And I know what I'm talking about is sound and concrete.
Yes,
I know
it is.
It's not a hallelujah and a shouting and a praising God message, but it was something that needed to be spoken of today, because people's faith needed to be challenged.
Yes.
And it's going to cause you to assess yourself. It's going to cause you to also think about where God is leading you so you can seek him. So it's going to challenge you to seek the Lord, not go to negative or people who are not in tune, not go to their type of negative counsel, but seek what God is doing in your life. And if he's calling you to do a faith move, then know that he's calling you to do a faith move. But if he's calling you to stay in that local, you're called to that local area, find the church, do whatever it is that God is telling you to do. Because we want God's perfect will to be played out in your life. But I pray even on today that you were empowered. And if you have any type of spiritual insight, you will know that everything that I said was spoken in love, not hatred. Yes. I don't have time to have hate. I don't have time to try and abuse somebody. I don't have time to try and belittle another person. That's not in my agenda. That's not even in my heart because I'm trying to operate in his supernatural love. But if you have any spiritual insight, you would know that I care for you and that I want you to make it. Not just make it, but I want you to surpass. And while you're surpassing, you can grab other people along the way. I want you not to just be better for you, but so that you can also go out there and show other people a better way.
Yeah.
The only way to get better, sometimes you need a push. You need an awakening. You need a reassuring. You need a remembrance. You need a challenge. God challenges us. This ain't my own ideology. This is what Jesus does. Jesus challenged his disciples. He challenged their thinking. He challenged their beliefs. He challenged the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He challenged. He was a challenger. So if you know, this is why we tell people to read your word. And I'm going to keep saying it no matter till Jesus come back or I cross over. But you got to know your word, not only because it will sustain you, but your word will also teach you more about who you serve. You will get to know the characteristics. Because did you not know that our Heavenly Father has a personality, has characteristics? Did you not know that Jesus has a personality? Did you not know even the Holy Spirit has a personality? And even though they are all in one, they all have three distinct characteristics. And the only way that you will learn that is if you study the Word of God and you got to know how our Lord and Savior is. And it won't be such a distant theory. Then you can begin to walk closer with Jesus, knowing that he's right there in you, around you, right there. All you got to do is extend your hand, and he'll grab it. Because he becomes real to you, even more real, when you read the Word of God. So Jesus, and like that's the whole point of me bringing that up, is because if you learn and study the Word of God, you will learn the mannerism of Jesus Christ. You will learn his characteristics. Not only he's meek and humble, but he loves to laugh. He also loves to challenge. But he also is very displeased when we don't have perfect faith in him, when we waver. But thanks be to God, he has long suffering with us. So even throughout the years, and even sometimes even currently, when my faith slips, I ask for forgiveness, and he says, okay, carry on. Same with you all. So Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for the time I've been able to have with your people. I pray that your word, the word yes, that you Lord. Have given me, Lord, will serve as a strength and encouragement and empowerment for your glory. I pray even right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would touch every heart. Let it not be heavy, but let this serve as a good thing, a rejoicing that you have come with this word to ask them to be better. You come with this word to bring them up to a higher height. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing, for you're truly worthy to be praised. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the tough messages, Lord. The messages that some of these leaders don't even want to give to their sheep for fear of them running off. But I thank you for your Holy Ghost boldness that you placed in Apostle and myself. I thank you for the same Holy Ghost boldness to be implanted and imparted in the lives of the people on this line. And I pray, God, that when they leave from this line, they will not just close their Bibles and just go on with their day, but there will be a stirring in their spirit for hunger and thirst of your word, that they may learn of you, that they may learn your personality, your characteristics, but not just learn of you, but want to be like you. That we will begin to raise up leaders who will be sanitizers in the kingdom of God, that will tear down this erroneous doctrine, that will show forth in the fruit of the Spirit and perfect love to love even those that have come against us. Lord, I thank you right now, God, for correcting in us, Lord, and making us transform, Lord, according to your word of God. Thank you, Lord, for renewing a right spirit in us and creating us a right mind, Lord, that we can think, Lord, like you think, that we can say and speak the way you've commanded us to speak, that we may, Lord, believe in our hearts and even on others the way that you created us to love and believe in them, Lord, just like you believe in us. I thank you, God, and I pray, God, that you, Lord, will go forth, Lord, before all of us as we end this conference line. But even as they travel, even as they go on doing their different duties and the things that they have on their agenda, I pray, God, that you will protect them with your perfect protection, that they would, Lord, have no accidents. And we bind up and rebuke all danger seen and unseen. And we bind up the enemy because, Satan, you are a liar. You are a liar. You are the father of lies. You are accuser of the brethren, and we cast you down even right now. We rebuke you because the word of God tells us how you try to steal the seeds, and you try and take the thorns and let the seeds fall on stony grounds and thorns. But we bind that up in the name of Jesus, that the seed that was placed today in your hearts would not fall on stony grounds or stony hearts. Lord, I thank you because the seeds that you have placed and spoken through me will be planted in their heart and will bring forth and produce good fruit. We bind up the enemy right now that tries to make them forget, to try to get them to cancel out everything that they've received on today. We cancel it in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you today. I can't thank you enough because of your faith that you placed in us. Let our faith not fail us. Thank you for interceding on our behalf, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way that we should be when we are believing in you. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how we can be pleasing in your sight by way of faith, knowing that faith is not just an action for a momentary thing, but Lord, it is a lifestyle that every day that we wake up and every moment that we walk and operate in your glory, in your blood, Lord, that you will see that we're pleasing because we're operating in faith, Lord. I thank you, God, that we will have a desire of a relationship that surpasses even our own personal desires of materialistic gain. Lord, that we will look to you and you only, and we will desire, Lord, your gifts and your talents and your favor and your wisdom even more than a car, a home, a house, God, that we will be content in all things. But, Lord, you do see the hearts of your people, and they do need resources. They do need a house. They do need a car. They do need finances. And, Lord, I know that you're a God that also loves for us to have the good of the land. And, Lord, I pray that you would make a way. In your perfect timing, God, God, I pray that you would touch the finances of your people. Touch them, Lord, that are in need of different things and miracles for quartz and cheese and whatever it is, God. You see their hearts, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would bring it to pass, Lord, because you have told us that with men it may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. You told us in Philippians 4:19 that you, God, shall supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, you told us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And I call it to your glory. Lord, I rely on your word, and we stand on your promises, Lord, that is already done, having the perfect faith and the resting faith of our forefathers. Lord, I thank you by showing us our example, how we should be. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray and ask this. Heavenly Father, amen and amen.
We know this word has truly empowered you for this week.
And if you want to activate this word and manifest this word into your life, visit our website and sow into it. The website is www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .com, not .org, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. That is www.kci.world. As always, we are speaking life over you, and we are excited about your
now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name.
This has been your weekly supernatural word of empowerment from
the Generals.